Okay, well, welcome to Sunday afternoon, everybody. Hi, this is another edition of the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. We are broadcasting live here on, hello, we are broadcasting, let me mute you, some of you guys. Some of you guys got a hot mic. There we go, and there we go, and of course, Rad, he's probably out riding his bike. Well, it's a little cold for that. But anyway, welcome to the show. We are broadcasting live here, of course, on StreamYard. We're going to the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group Facebook page. We are going to the Dr. Eric Smith, Cross and the Crescent YouTube page, I'm sorry, Facebook, Dr. Eric Smith. And I even put the tab, I don't know if this, can somebody go to Twitter? I know some of you probably don't want to admit that you have a Twitter account, but I went back and I reopened my account because I get tired of trying to read those links, and then they're asking, well, you're not logged in, you can't read this. You go, anyway, that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So can somebody go over and see if this is broadcasting live on Twitter? I don't know if it is or if you have the ability to do that. Does anybody know? Anybody? Let me look in the comments. Maybe somebody in the comments would be able to tell me. Nobody in the comments is telling me either. Okay, well, I guess maybe they don't know either. But anyway, we're broadcasting in three different places. And also, we're over on the Global Patriot Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to the show. Again, this is another Sunday afternoon. And somebody's going to say something. We are going to be discussing today. Today we are going to discuss what the early church believed. We often hear the argument leveled at Christianity. Who's got a hot mic? We often hear the argument leveled against Christianity that Christ was made God at the Council of Nicaea. They made up this idea that Jesus was going to be God at 325 AD. And today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at not only some of the passages that we find in the Bible that that dispel that completely, but also we're going to be looking at mainly, specifically, what the early church fathers taught. I know there's this big to-do scuttlebutt out there today between our beloved brothers Sam Shimon and Anthony Rogers. I don't even know what. Does anybody know what their argument is over the early church fathers? Does anybody have a grip on that? Because
all I have to say is go Anthony Rogers.
Do you know what the argument is? Because I was watching. I think I was watching a stream from Sam about a week and a half ago, maybe, and he's talking about Anthony Rogers' neighborhood. And, you know, you got the bantering going, and that's always fun and good, but I don't even know what the topic is. Have you? Yeah.
Should be away from
this fight. The fight is actually about sola fide.
Yeah.
Sola scriptura. And Anthony Rogers is, you know, he's of the reform tradition, and Sam is kind of seems like he's buddying back up to the idea that we're supposed to, because we're the body of Christ, that it's beneficial for us to listen to the traditions of our forefathers and acknowledge the fact that they were also used by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a slippery slope, I would say, because you're at some point you're going to have to differentiate between Scripture and church fathers. And the reason why I agree with Anthony Rogers is because church fathers are not on the same level of inspiration as
Correct.
The Apostle Peter or John mm-hmm. or James. So
okay.
That's pretty much what it's about. And then Sam's buddied up to this Albrecht guy.
Yep.
Great guy, great apologist, but he's a Catholic. And so...
This is a fight between Catholics and Protestants. Then it is, I prefer, this is my opinion, I prefer to be away from this fight and don't support this side on the other side. Although I have my opinion, I have my faith, but I don't like to be this side or that side. This is my belief.
Sure. Okay, so I think there's some lessons that we could probably draw from this argument between Catholicism and Protestantism. Is when does the fighting stop? I mean, it's been if history is any type of guide for us, it's okay. Connie, go ahead. Connie, go.
Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The commandments of what Jesus said, that you finally fulfill the law and the prophets, is that you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So it stops when we finally listen to Jesus and love one another.
Okay. And I agree completely. I do agree with that. But, DL, you're fading. You're coming in a little broken, DL. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, Luke 10:16 and John 13:20.
Luke 10:16 and John what?
13:20.
13:20. Okay. All right, well, let me pull it over here. We haven't even got to today's topic yet, and that's okay. I kind of like this. Let's see, Luke 10:16. Is that what you said?
Well, you asked us a question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. I know. That's what I like. I like interaction. I, you know, people just don't want to come here and sit here and listen to me babble all day. Golly, that guy's boring. So let me put this over here. There we is. There's the audio. And okay, 10:16, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects him who sent me. Somebody just popped.
So Jesus here is speaking to his apostles, and he's telling them, he who receives you receives me, he who rejects you. He's saying this to his apostles, right?
Right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Rad. Yep, Rad, we can hear you.
Really? Good.
Yeah, you sound clear.
Okay, cool.
Now mute yourself. Sorry, that was a bad.
Yeah,
that was a bad joke. Yeah, right. Okay, so go ahead, DL. I'm sorry.
You know, are we gonna put the church fathers in that same category?
No, of course not. What was the other passage you said, John 13:20, is that what you said? The other passage, DL? Let me...
13:20, John
13:20. Let me jump over there. 13:20. And it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Okay. Yep, that was basically saying the same thing.
So are we going to put the church fathers in that same category as the apostles?
No, of course not. And I'm not sure if that's what I mean, is that what William Albright does, and is that what Sam's doing? Is they're trying to put the church fathers in the same type of?
If the argument is sola fide or sola scriptura, then that's what it is. Do we only use scripture to determine our doctrines and liturgies, or do we, you know, follow some things that the church fathers said?
Sure.
Can we establish doctrine based off of what they said?
Well, a lot of I would say a lot of the doctrine was developed.
Jesus says yes.
If
I say what Jesus says, then you receive me as you receive Christ. But if I don't say what Jesus has said, then you don't receive me. You know, I'm not saying the truth. So if the church fathers are saying what Jesus said, then yeah, you receive them as you receive Christ. But if they aren't, then you're not, and you don't need to.
Right.
Well, I'm just thinking that go ahead.
No, the advantage that, you know, they might have, because I always think about what my opponent would use against me. Matthew 23:34. You can go to that one.
Going there, 23:34, and it says, therefore, I send you, hold on, bring it up on the screen, therefore, I just wanted to ask why the there is for, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you kill and crucify, some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town.
So here Jesus is saying, in addition to his 12 apostles, he's going to send them Nevi'im, prophets, Hakamim, wise men, and Sopharim, scribes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they might say, okay, well, that's what the church fathers are. They're the wise men. They're the scribes, or, you know what I'm saying? So
sure.
That might be some light at the end of the tunnel for them. But I agree
only
with our sister here that
saying,
wherever...
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the church fathers are in agreement with the scriptures, then I can listen to them. When they veer from them, I can't deal with them.
And
you're on some purgatory type stuff, I
exactly.
can't deal with you. When you're on
exactly.
mediatrix, like we can get to God by praying through the saints, I can't get with you.
Right.
Yep. Amen. Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
Okay, I was just wondering what the argument was about, and you know, and if it's just predicated on whether or not the church fathers were inspired or not. I don't, you know, of course we're not. I don't even think they can get there saying that. And if you know, if we're going to say that the church fathers contradict scripture, I'm not exactly sure where we would find the church fathers trying to develop ideas or they themselves saying that. They were adding to scripture, saying that they were inspired. I don't remember reading anywhere. And I got three volumes of them guys up there. I don't remember hearing anywhere where they do. Yeah, go ahead, George.
Father was either the generation that followed the apostles or those that were taught by the apostles. So again, I would say they were inspired because they believed Moses, they believed the apostles, and they believed the followers of the apostles. So are you going to, if you say, George, do you believe they were inspired? I'm going to say yes, because they believed and followed what the chain of custody said from Moses coming right now.
Okay. I agree with that. When we look at what is inspired or not, I think it, let me jump over here. I just wanted to pull this up. That you look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, meaning that it's God breathed that is inspired. And when we start looking at, you know, what is supposed to be inspired scripture or scripture and what isn't, that was developed over a period of time. The canon, I believe the Moratorium canon was not developed until around 180 AD, because you had books out there that were widely read in the early church, the Didache, the Shepherd of Hermes, and there's a couple of them that are, you know, just I can't remember off the top of my head, but they were not accepted as being as part of the canon inspired, because they weren't either, they didn't have an apostolic origin, and therefore if it's not apostolic origin, then they weren't gonna accept them. But when you look at what Paul is writing here, you know, then the question is, well, Paul wasn't an apostle, or, you know, he wasn't a direct disciple of Christ, and this is true. But then you jump over to 3:15, and count the patience of our Lord of salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, and he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of the matters. Some of them are hard to understand, which the ignorant. Okay, so they're basically, Peter is giving Paul also apostolic authority, and nowhere are we going to, and again, D.L.'s absolutely right, nowhere are we going to find any type of authority, apostolic authority, or some type of inspired authority above what is in the scripture from the early church fathers. I thought the argument was over apostolic succession, the legitimacy of the papacy, and things of that nature. That's what I thought it was, but I'm like most of you, I'm just kind of, you know, you guys going to have your arguments.
It's eventually going to lead to that.
Yeah, and that's true, because the infallibility of the Pope is, that's, you know, that's church doctrine within Catholicism itself too. I get that.
Word of God is sure, and we're saying started with Moses, what Moses wrote. Everything is built on what Moses wrote. So if what you teach contradicts the foundation laid by Moses, then it can't be inspired, at least not from the true God. So the idea of infallibility of the Pope is that art in the book of Moses, can that find foundation in the book of Moses? And I would say no. I would say no. It contradicts what Moses wrote and the prophets who followed Moses. Then, in my opinion, we reject it.
Same, for the same exact reason why we reject Muhammad. Because he contradicts a whole lot of things that include also Moses, what Moses taught too. The super, who is Gorgi? Is that Gorgi? Goji, Super Goji, 75, Church Fathers, Polycarp, and Nation Firm. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. You're getting ahead of me. Way to go. Okay, so today we're going to be looking at the early Church Fathers and their view of Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at what the apostles believe, you go to 2 Peter. Let me go to 2 Peter here. 2 Peter. Verse 1. Let's see. Okay. and of Jesus Christ. Okay, so verse 2, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So here he's named, you know, he's equating, that's not even a really good translation either, to be honest with you. But here you have Peter believe that Jesus was God. You had John saying
what
that.
What translation are you reading?
I don't know. It's NIV.
Just curious.
NIV.
Oh, yeah.
Let me grab one of these over here. Let's grab New King James Version. Let's try that. Is it the one you for? Okay. So those who have, okay, grace and peace be multiplied to you in knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's basically the same thing, I guess. But anyway, the disciples, I mean, without a doubt, unequivocally, all believe that Jesus was God. If you, I mean, even you look at the Gospel of Matthew, is it, or the Gospel of Luke, where Thomas has that encounter with the risen Christ. He says, "My God, my Lord, and my God." So it's kind of a no-brainer that the apostles or the disciples thought that Jesus was God. And this is one of the developments that Bart Ehrman has come out and said that he was previously wrong on what the early church, how the early church viewed Christ. You know, he believed, and I believe one of his books is about how this idea of Jesus becoming God was a development, and it took a while for the church to accept this, that Jesus was God incarnate. But if you think, I think it's 2 Philippians. Let's go to 2 Philippians. Oops, I went past it. Sorry. Philippians.
There is no 2 Philippians.
Okay, now you're being technical. You know it. You know what I'm saying. Doggone it. All right, Philippians. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, did you know that there's a second Luke? Second would be the book of Acts, would be the second Luke. Okay, Philippians 2. All right. Thank you for the admonishment and the correction, DL. Okay, let's see.
You just got there saying that sequels weren't any good.
We were having a discussion prior to the show about sequel staking. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see. This would be the mind of you. This is Philippians chapter 2, not 2 Philippians, but Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. So here...
You can equip that word with John 1:1.
Yes, yeah. We could get to John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Yep. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So.
Yeah, and the lexicon says at the end, and God was the Word, and that's what we've been telling, like the
okay.
Unitarians.
And remember, let me put a point that I'm saying that there is a probably a better phrase would be chain of narration. I can use that. What we're saying is that everything is coming from Moses, like the law, into the prophets, and as we're seeing now in John 1 and so on, reinforced in the New Testament. Let me give you one of them.
It's
part of the Hebrew canon. I'm reading Zechariah 2, verse 10. This is the NKJV. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says Yahweh. So the prophet Zechariah, this is part of the Jewish canon, before Jesus came, before the apostles, long before the apostles were born, the prophet Zechariah says, prophesied that God says he would come on earth and dwell among his people. And there are other references similar to this one. So I'm saying this can't be some conspiracy made up by Paul and all friends and Muslims or some corrupted gospel. No, they're building it on a chain of witnesses that all say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like denying. It's like reading a book of the New Testament and completely forgetting what is written in the Old Testament.
Okay.
All right. And I agree. There is a chain of a narration is a bad word because I mean that's like trying to be like Muslim saying, well, there's a chain of narration for the Hadith. There's a chain of narration for the Quran, which there isn't. But that's what they say. And to get into that and say that there's a chain of narration in Christianity it's not the same because here we have not an oral tradition, we have a written tradition as compared to Islam. And this is one of the points that I want to be making today is that the Light of Christ, Ed, somebody wants to know if it is you from Pal Talk. I don't know if that's true. That you are, well, you are on Pal Talk. Ed Van Halen's on Pal Talk. All of you guys are on Pal Talk. Nobody ever invited me to Pal Talk. I feel kind of lonely. Now the thing is this, what is this new thing called Crosswalk? Not Crosswalk. What's
Clubhouse?
Clubhouse. Yes. Yeah. Witnesses. Right.
Our Imam doesn't want his network to go so much to Clubhouse because it's drawing a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, I come and go every now and again, but.
Well, I'm getting alerts all the time. It's John Isaac, I mean, it's like the guy, he owns the company or something because every time I turn around, John's got some room open and I go to the room and I can't understand a word they're saying because they're speaking Arabic or something. Anyway, all right, so let's go over to my screen here and talk about the early church fathers, what they believed. Let's just put it this way, that the early church fathers, there's Isa, greetings, Isa. The early church fathers are the theologians that, and this is where I was trying to make earlier, is that even though they did not develop doctrine, what they did was they explained it. So when we talk about church doctrine, church core beliefs, it was explained in detail by the early church fathers. So we're not putting their writings on the same level as what we would say sacred scripture, inspiration, things of this nature. But we do know that they did have certain manuscripts in hand at their disposal, and they were able to explain what the early church taught and what the early church believed. And I've shown this slide several times before, showing who the early church fathers were, as far as you have the apostles here, and Paul, Peter, and John. You have these three apostles, and you have Clement of Rome, knowing Paul personally, Clement of Rome knowing Peter personally, and he became the leader in Rome after the death of Paul and Peter. We have Ignatius, who knew both Peter and John. Then you have Polycarp, who was a student of John. And then there's another individual that would go over here, I guess. You would say it would be Papias. So when you look at Clement of Rome, he was the first one to be considered the church father in Rome after the death of Peter. And this is where you have an established and apostolic line. And that begins with him. Then you have Papias of Hierapolis. And he was, he knew John. He was a student of John. And he was actually said to be somebody that was a hearer of the of John, I believe is who they labeled him as. And we find a lot of his works from Eusebius. We don't find a lot of his original work. It's gone, but he's mentioned in quite often and quoted from quite extensively by the church historian Eusebius. Let's see here. So Polycarp, of course, was a student of John in Smyrna. And here's what Polycarp taught about Jesus, who Jesus Christ was. He says, believe in our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. So we have here not an apostle, because we all know that the apostles declared Christ as being God, but you have the very first students of these apostles, beginning with Polycarp, affirming the fact that Jesus was God. And then you have Ignatius, who was also knew Peter and John. And in his writings, you see, by the will of the Father and of Jesus Christ, our God. So here you even have Ignatius, who, here's where we start, George, here's where we start talking about that direct line of succession, of understanding what the former before them taught. So when we start talking about, was Jesus made God at, let's say, the Council of Nicaea, this is what we hear quite a bit. Oh, Jesus became God at the Council of Nicaea. That's so stupid when people say it. But anyway, this is completely ignoring what the early church fathers taught, the people in the late first century and early second century taught. That Tertullian expressed heretical beliefs all at once. Tertullian, I'm not sure I agree with the claim that Tertullian, I'm going to stay away from that, Paul, sorry. Okay, and then Ignatius, of course, for our God, Jesus Christ, says it several times in his writings. It says God appeared in human form for our God, Jesus Christ. So you have Ignatius, who was a student of Polycarp and of Peter. Then you have Justin Martyr saying Christ being Lord and God. Christ is called both God and Lord, and he was God, Son of the Only Begotten. So you have Justin Martyr, early second century, saying that Jesus is God. Irenaeus of Lyons. Now, you remember, if we go back here, let's go back to this where Irenaeus comes in here. Sorry, right here. Here's Irenaeus. So you have Polycarp, and then Irenaeus is a direct student of Polycarp. So they're going to be direct saying the same things. I'm sorry, let me go through this again. Back to where, okay, Irenaeus, Christ Jesus is our Lord and God. Christ himself is God of the living. He is himself in his own right, God. Then you got Clement of Alexandria, second century, early third century. He alone being both God and man. He appeared as a teacher, that as God, that he was made equal to the Lord of the universe. Tertullian, this is exactly what Paul was saying. Thank you, Paul. Christ is also God, according to Tertullian, and then Tertullian expresses the unity in the Trinity here. He is one God. And then Hippolytus of Rome, again, the Logos is God, speaking of Jesus Christ, and God, the Word, with a human soul. So here you talk, here you start, you have the expression of the Trinity. And all who proclaim the deity of Christ. Yeah, you're exactly right, Paul. They all proclaim the deity of Christ. Exactly right. And then we have, of course, Origen. Origen saying that Jesus became, the last time divesting himself of his glory, became a man. But when we regard Savior as God of the world, speaking of Jesus, the Savior is also God. The Son of God is also called omnipotent. So you have all of these early expressions of the early church fathers saying that Jesus is God. Clement of Rome, Ignatius, Polycarp, Papias, Hierapolis, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus of Lyons, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Hippolytus of Rome, and Origen. All of these early church fathers wrote saying that Jesus was God. So the question is then how can somebody come back and say that the development or the deification of Christ was a development over centuries of the early church? How can somebody say that when you have a direct line of succession from the apostles, beginning of John, Peter, and Paul, going directly to the early church fathers and wrote, when you look at the succession of the early church fathers, how can you say that this was a development when it was taught at the very beginning?
You know, I learned something from Taylor Stewart the other day.
Is that your attorney guy? Okay.
It's going to be good. You're going to like it. Just let me put it out there.
Okay.
The Bible Hub in John 1:1, at the end, you know, where we read like King James or whatever, it says, and the Word was God. It says in the Bible Hub in the lexicon in three, it says, and God was the Word. And that's what we've been telling them for, what, centuries now, that Jesus is God because God was the Word. And the Word we know is Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us. So I learned something from Taylor. Now, he reads it, and then he gives his own. He says, well, this is what this means. Now, that's where he falters. But when he just reads it, like he read through the Bible Hub, he read it correctly.
So he's eisegeting, he's
exegesing it very wrong.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. He's not saying what it says. He'll say, well, this is what it means. It clearly says in the Word, and God was the Word. That's what we've been telling him. Jesus is God because God was the Word.
I mean, when you give him these scriptures, I mean, why does he keep fighting that?
Because Unitarianism is like their Mohammedism. They've got their Unitarian doctrine is like Muhammad. They're like that dog on a bone that's not going to let go, because they've got their doctrine. You know, as shy of the Father saying, you know, go, you know. But you know what I read? When Jesus says that I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another Comforter, if you'll read the verse right before that, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then it says, and I will pray the Father that he'll send the Holy Spirit. So we have to love Jesus to then keep his commandments. And that means loving God with everything that we have. That means Jesus said, love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's all of it, especially the last five that has to do with people.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't love God and you can't love people, Jesus will not pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. He won't do that because it comes against who he is. God is love.
I'm just trying to wrap my mind around, you know, how they can reject the Son, I mean, the deity of Christ, based on the passages that are in the New Testament, and also what the early church fathers wrote. I mean, do they reject the early church fathers? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh yes, he said that today. But he claimed in the video that he had showed today, like a premiere, he was debating Anthony Rogers on, is Jesus God, right? And he clearly said, I'm not a Christian. And I wrote in the chat, I said, you're not a Christian. No, I'm a messianic. I said, well, I consider myself a messianic too, but I'm a Christian. And that's scripture. And every time I try to say, okay, you know, can we go to 1 Peter 4:16-17? You know, Peter says that if you're called Christian, you know, take it as like a good soldier. And then he says, and for the judgment first must come to the house of God. So I was trying to show him, look, Peter's calling Christians the house of God. And all what he kept on writing me, Trinity is of Satan. I said, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about what you said about not being a Christian. I'm going to scripture.
Yeah.
And he kept on just saying, Trinity is Satan. It's like he wouldn't even engage with me. And then he said, I am engaging with you. I said, well, can't we stand on the scripture together like your channel says? So it's like they've got this plug that you're a Trinitarian, so, you know, I'm not supposed to love you. You're of Satan, and I'm not going to walk with you. I'm not going to talk with you. I'm not going to do nothing. That they blanket people, you know, to just exclude themselves that we're with Christ and everybody else isn't. You're Satanists. They call them he literally called us Satanists.
Really?
Two quick points I want to make. Connie referred to John 14:15 when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't know how many people picked it up and realized. But when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus is actually declaring his deity. Also, where did he get this phrase from? Love me, keep my commandments. It's
called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely correct.
Sorry. Saying he's God.
He is saying that he is God.
Exodus 20:6.
But showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. That's where it's coming from. And this is the second commandment. So Jesus, and this is not the only occasion when Jesus is quoting from the Ten Commandments and applying it to himself. He is clearly saying that he's God.
Yeah, and him just saying, keep my commandments. I mean, there he's saying, I'm God as well.
Right.
So in that one sentence, he's saying, I'm God, I'm God. Now this is what you will do, or you won't be of me. You are not my flock. You will love me, and you will keep my commandments. If you love me, if you keep my commandments, then I'll pray the Father, send the Holy Spirit. He will be with you forever, and we will come with you. I will come to you.
Right.
I mean, he's clearly showing the whole triune God.
We have somebody in the chat that goes by Islam Defender Yahya. I mean, is that how I'm not trying to mispronounce the name.
That's
at all.
Yahya. Yeah, he's done debates with Hatun, and then one Muslim rebuked him, and then he kind of backed off from talking with her and everything. But he's a nice guy. He's in his best, but he is a Muslim.
Okay. Well, if you want to come into the chat, you can. I posted the link to the StreamYard above. If you want to do that, Mr. Paul is here, and Paul's got the best studio. I mean, look at all those books behind him, and he's got that high-speed microphone, and plus he looks a lot better than I do. He might. How are you, Paul?
Well, it's hidden. Don't tell us. It's hidden,
bud. Wear a hat. Okay, Paul, you were saying about the early church fathers. Well, just go ahead. There's something you were making some statements there in chat. Go ahead.
They stop. It's that simple to them. Then anything that they get that proclaims the deity of it incorrectly. This is one of the reasons you get people like Jehovah's Witnesses. That's one of the ways they will abolish the concept of Jesus as God. That's unfortunately something they've been doing for over about 100 years now. They're just an abomination that is to the survival. I work with, I used to do a lot more work towards reaching out to them. You run into the opposite of that too, with Mormons, where they proclaim that they are gods and that they proclaim, yes, Jesus is God, but then you have all these different gods and even them being gods. And again, it's the same thing. They tend to throw out the early church fathers as being Catholic. They use the same principles, and they don't realize they might not like each other, but they're using the same principles. Basically, they're not following the scriptures is what it comes down to. They toss the scriptures aside because they disagree with them.
So they're basically throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Is that?
They can't, yeah. They
man,
can't.
You were reading my mind a minute ago. Oh my goodness.
What they're doing?
They're throwing out
the baby. Yeah, because I've seen this hyper skepticism of anything Catholic, and if it's Catholic, it therefore must be heretical and must be bad. And I even, unfortunately, I even see that sometimes in my own church, in my own denomination. Anytime that you bring up anything Catholic, as a matter of fact, we went through. I gave a message one evening. It wasn't too long ago. We were talking about the catechism for the church. And I was pushing this fact. I said, you know, we need to understand church creeds. We need to recite them because they do a great job of reminding us what Christianity teaches. And I went through the Apostles' Creed line by line and phrase by phrase, and everybody's going north and south until you get last line and the Holy Catholic Church, and they're like, "Oh no, we can't have any of that." And I, you know, you tried to make the explanation. Says, "Well, the Catholic Church at this time meant Universal Church of Christ. It didn't mean the Catholic Church itself." Right, you're right.
I would disagree with that explanation for today. I mean, today you almost have to say Holy Universal because there's so much.
Confusion
against the Bible, that, and so I, mm-hmm. you know, that's where I would disagree. I know what the term meant, but sometimes definitions.
Are you saying, Paul, that you believe that it means the Holy, when it says the Holy Catholic Church and the Apostles' Creed, that they're referring?
I'm saying that that's how it can be misinterpreted, unfortunately. It's like, well, this is one of the reasons why when you do the Lord's Supper, you explain it being symbolic versus hocus corpus being uttered and saying it's actual physical blood and,
right.
and body of Christ.
Right. That's where you have the argument between Lutheran consubstantiation and transubstantiation, the big fight there. You know, where it becomes, you know, the actual body and blood according to transubstantiation.
That's where hocus pocus came from. If you don't know, that's
I didn't. No, really.
Corpus, and
that
got changed to hocus pocus.
Oh, really?
It's not like, I mean, they knew it. It was equally. Yeah, I think it's funny that's where that came from.
Well, and this is, and like you were saying, that's one of the major divisions between Christians and, Lutherans and Catholics and Baptists.
All of the Protestant faith against Catholicism.
Say that again, what?
I would say all of the Protestant faith. Against Catholicism.
Yeah. I don't think that there is another denomination out there that teaches transubstantiation. They don't in the miracle of the Eucharist or anything like that. I might be wrong. I don't think so.
The deity of Christ is so prominent, you cannot in the scriptures. You can't. There's no way. It's one thing to be ignorant and make those statements. It's ignorance is my belief. The word ignorance means willingly. Stupid or refusing knowledge. If that stuff's right there, that's the only way you can not know this information.
That's 2 Peter 3:8 stuff. They're willingly ignorant. People today are willing. Okay. Anyway.
Because they've been told the truth. That's why he calls them willingly ignorant. Because the word of God has gone out. Okay, and that's what Paul teaches and says that it's gone out. So they're because they have heard it. That's why they're willingly ignorant.
Dumb on purpose. That's what it means.
Yeah, I mean they
they're purposely stupid.
Yeah, they just turn. You know, that's why God finally has to give them a strong delusion because they had not the love of the truth. They would not grab it. They would not love Jesus and to keep his commandments.
What is going on here in chat? Who is the Rita Tall? Rita Tall? What is going on here, you guys? Whoever that is, and Protestant believer, you guys are having some type of knockdown drag out there.
I think last week or the week before you mentioned Deuteronomy 6:4. Deuteronomy 6:4, the word for echad, the word for one is echad. It means united one. It's
right.
The only time echad is ever used in the Bible is for the word united one. So even in the foundation phrase for all of Judaism, which is the Shema.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. They're talking about the Trinity. So this is the truth about that word one that Muslims can't accept.
Well, what's so beautiful about that is that is the verse that they often go to say, look at that. Even the Old Testament teaches that God is just one. There's no unity in there. And then where'd it go? Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. It's let me put it up on the screen. This is okay. So Adonai is the word or is the name that they use for, instead of saying Yahweh, the proper name, they use Adonai. And then Elohim is El, God. Hanu is the plural form of it. And then it says...
Elohim is our God. Is our God. Elohim is our God.
Okay. Is, and what is...
Elohim is a plural, but Elohenu just means our God.
Okay. And then it says, is one. Hold on, I got to sneeze. Excuse me. Right. So even here.
If you keep on reading after that, he tells you, and you are to love the Lord your God with. And now he names an Echad with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know, is God calling us three? No, it's one. Are all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. You know, so if we couple it with that, if we kind of take it in context, man, it shows. I'm Echad. You're to love me with all your Echad.
Exactly.
It's so beautiful.
Okay. Let me jump back. Hold on. Just pause. Somebody's got this. Hold on. Let's put this up on the screen. Paul Cutcliffe is fully wrong as Jews and Muslims believe.
No,
yeah,
no.
That's what's so. Like I said, Yah. How do you say that name? Yah. Okay. If you want to come on the show, I posted the link to the show in chat. Let me see if I can do that again. There you go. If you want to come on and prove us wrong, that's you're more than welcome to.
Well, if you ever listen to him and Atun,
mm-hmm.
You know he's got a humble disposition to him. You know, he really does.
Well, and you're.
Is that this attack on the deity of Christ is not unique for our friends, the Muslims. It's even within so-called Christian denominations and a lot of the, how should I say this, the oneness Pentecostalism movement. They are also denying the deity of Christ.
We don't deny the deity of Christ. Pentecostal doesn't deny the deity of Christ.
Are you a one with Pentecostal?
No, but I happen to do a lot of evangelism towards them. They do deny other things, but they don't deny the deity of Christ.
Okay. Do they teach that Jesus is God and always was God?
They are what you would call, they're closer to what we would call modalists.
Exactly.
So you are close.
Exactly. I'm saying that all of these different flavors...
And that denies the scriptures.
Of course it is. I've had to debate them on this point. And as you say, what's happening is that they have different flavors of the same thing. You listen to them, they change what they're saying depending on the argument that they're using. Again, and what I'm saying is that this is just one more attack on who Jesus is. So, for example, the latest thing I'm hearing from them is, oh, yes, Jesus is God, but he did not exist before the incarnation.
I used to go to, when I was going to seminary out in Chicago area, I used to go down to the city usually I'd go right behind where the Moody Bible students were evangelizing, and I'd sit there and wait, and usually it'd be like a oneness Pentecostal person would come up and say, why, where's your baptistry? I mean, all these other things they would try to do to argue against the concept of doing evangelism kind of blew my mind. Boy, we have some interesting conversations, and they would not want to discuss just just using the Bible. They'd like to add other things, but, you know, and that's the thing. If you take the Word of God with you and you show it to them, they don't like that.
The one and only Carolyn Song.
Wow.
What did you say, George?
They've taken other men as gods. That's why 1 John 1:5-21, dear little children, keep yourselves from idols. Because we have grabbed men. We have forgot that we have God who is spirit. And we tend to lean toward what we see with our eyes. And then we make idols of men. So then we become part of all these doctrines that falter from the Word of God. So you have to have another book with it. That's what they're holding on to instead of standing on Scripture.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to get to was the challenge that, okay, so maybe the Gospels do teach that Jesus is God incarnate, teach the deity of Christ, but then the argument then becomes, you know, well, we don't know who wrote the Gospels. The Gospels are anonymous, yada, yada, yada. So what I want to do is I want to again go through a list of what the early church fathers taught about who wrote the Gospels. And this is just going to take a second to do, and I want to get this information out there. And if any of you guys want this slideshow, you can just email me, and I don't have a problem at all sending it to you. This was the conclusion from the last thing, more evidence to Gospels than any of the work from antiquity. Wait, this isn't it, is it? Yes, it was. Okay, so, yeah, because we just went through that. All right, so you have more evidence to Gospels than any other work from that time period. The attestation of the Church Fathers to the deity of Christ is early. They all proclaim the deity of Christ. And then let's look at the Gospels themselves. Now, here, we've looked at some of these charts here that show you the succession of, or the apostolic succession. For example, John teaches Polycarp. Polycarp teaches Irenaeus. And then Irenaeus teaches Hippolytus, Martyr. And then Justin Martyr teaches Tatian, who wrote the Dietesteron. And then, of course, you have Clement of Alexander. But for Matthew, let's look at the evidence for Matthew. Matthew, you have internal evidence within the gospel itself showing that Matthew wrote Matthew, all of the terms, because Matthew was a tax collector, so you're going to have all kinds of references to money there that would not be normally used by your layman. And then you have Papias, who was a student of John, knew Polycarp. Matthew compiled the sayings of Christ in the English language. And then it doesn't mention any other church disputes over there's no other disputes out there over who wrote Matthew. And then, Irenaeus, who was a student of Polycarp, said that Matthew wrote Matthew. Let me get this banner off here so you guys can see the whole thing. Sorry about that. Okay, and then you have Mark. Of course, Irenaeus, again, mentions Mark as being the disciple who wrote Mark, Tertullian, Clement of Alexander, all of them attest to Mark saying that. Origen said he does. Justin Martyr says he does. And then the Marcionite prologue to Mark has that on there. And then you have Luke. Of course, Luke says that he wrote Luke and the Acts. Then you have Irenaeus attesting to Luke. You have Justin Martyr. The Martyrian canon lists Luke. And then John, you have Irenaeus mentioning that. Tatian mentions that. Tertullian mentions that. Clement of Alexander mentions that. Origen says that John wrote John. Theophilus of Antioch mentions it. And, of course, the Anti-Marcionite prologue also. But here's what's really interesting, and here's my favorite one. Sirah of Muhammad, Sirat Rasul Allah, mentions that John wrote the Gospel of John. So even in the Sirah, the Islamic literature, you're having attestation about the attestation. Golly, where did I go? Here we go. There we are. You have attestation not only from the early church fathers, but you're also having in the biography of Muhammad, they admit that John wrote John. So if you have a gospel that says that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then you're saying that, hey, that's the gospel, it's not some injil that they're making up, I would think that that would be semi-problematic. And if there was somebody in the chat, any Muslims there in chat would like to challenge that, I would really like to hear what, let's see, I'm not here to argue, and what I say is of the Bible. Well, of course, whatever you say of the Bible is not necessarily true, though. That's kind of the biggie there. Okay, any comments on that?
I challenge any Muslim to have that kind of a history behind their book, because we have the history all the way from the first century. I challenge any Muslim to prove that kind of history behind the Quran or Hadith, because you cannot trace that. And we have the actual documents. I mean, you can go back that far. It's incredible to say you can read something from 150. You can read something from that time period. You can read the histories from that time period. Today, it's easy to do. I find that's one of the things I love about history. You can go back and you can read that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to do. It's easy to obtain. Most of the church fathers, you can just go online and find that stuff online. If you're just looking for Tertullian, I tell everybody you've got to read it. Versus Breaks, it is beautiful. Justin Martyr's Apologies, they're interesting. They're deep. Tertullian's works, I love them. Sorry, I love apologists from the second century.
Yeah, but they can put you to sleep really quick too.
I gave you a couple of names on Tertullian. Do you want to share what he said on those or no?
Oh, where do you have? Are they in Messenger?
Yes, sir. I sent them to you all yesterday.
Okay, let me. Oh my. Okay. Oh crap. Holy crap! What the heck? There's like 50 of them in here. I know. I have been out of the loop.
4, 5, 6, and 7. I remember telling you.
Okay.
That 4, 5, 6, and 7 are Tertullian, and I love what it says.
All right. Let's put this up here. Okay. There we go. Muhammad Hijab is saying in the first 300 years. No, I can't. Well, can I? How do I zoom in? How do I zoom in on? Here, let's try that.
Control. There you go.
Woo-hoo. Okay. That's as big as it's getting. Can you guys read that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Muhammad Hijab is saying in the first 300 years of the church, fathers didn't mention the Trinity. But then you get to Tertullian. All scriptures give clear proof of the Trinity and is from these that our principle is deduced. The distinction of the Trinity is quite clearly displayed. So that comes from there's a heresy.
Adversus praxis, and adversus means against.
Okay.
So, yes.
And that was a
well, and Tertullian did create the word Trinity. So that's the truth.
Really? Really? Yeah. So he was the first one to say it? Okay.
Yes, he's the first one to create the term. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it is a Trinity, though I don't call myself Trinitarian because they want to lock me in a box, you know. Yeah, right.
I don't
you know.
The term.
I don't care.
It's not an accurate term.
What's not an accurate term? Say that again, Paul.
Trinitarian. I think that has been abused and misused in so many ways. Trinity. You know, you can be a believer in the Trinity, and yeah, I think that concept, depending on who is using it, it has been used for heretical terms, so you have to be careful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, can we read the next one?
Yeah, let's see. As a Muslim, Jesus is the one who brought the Injil, good news to those who believe his teachings, while John and other Gospels is later on was brought forward as Holy New Testament, which contradicts.
Yeah, John is the one that is defended by the followers of Islam as being the author of John,
mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's the apostle that was loved. Don't you think he would have the best?
and Yahya, you guys don't even have the Injil, so you're fighting with, like, nothing.
Well, I would.
Where is this Injil supposed to be at, Yahya? Come on with us, Yahya. Don't be afraid.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, when we start talking about this Injil shtick, that it's often thrown out there. Don't you think?
Exist.
Well, yeah.
The bingo cards ready if you want.
There's no proof.
You got the what?
The Muslim bingo cards ready.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I would just like one reference to the Injil outside of Islamic literature. Something in the first century that talks about the Injil given to Jesus. Anything would be nice. But see, this is the thing that when you start asking for evidence or any type of or manuscript evidence, can we have that? You know, by citing the Injil, by citing that, what you're doing is you're citing a pink unicorn is what you're doing. You're just inventing something to conform to the story that has been made up to begin with. If there was somebody mentioning in the first century, second century, third century, something about a separate gospel given to Jesus Christ, then you might have a point. But the fact is there's nothing there. So to say that the Injil was given to Jesus because it only says it in a Quran, which was supposedly written 600 years later, which wasn't. It was written about 400 years later because we have a Quran that predates the Quran. It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is that there's no references to the Injil early at all. And if there is, all you have to do is just cite them. Just post it in the chat, and I'll put it right up here on the screen. No problem. Okay, let's go ahead and bring up this other meme that Connie sent me. Let's see here. Muhammad Hijab is saying in the first stream. Okay, so here again have Tertullian. He is the son of God and is called God from unity of substance with God. Thus, Christ is spirit of spirit and God of God, is light of light, is kindled. This sounds an awful lot like the Nicene Creed. That which has come forth out of God is at once God and the Son of God, and the two are one. He is made a second in manner of existence and position, not in nature, and he did not withdraw from the original source, but went forth. So again, here you have Tertullian. Tertullian is an early church father, citing the Trinity, citing Jesus as God.
God of God.
Let's see here. Reda Tao. One of you guys need to come. Ed, can you come up on mic and tell us what's going on there in the chat with Is this the call of prayer? Is this the call of prayer or something?
Yeah,
go ahead. Okay, Ed, hold on, Adam. Before we get to you, I want to hear what Ed. What are you guys doing there? In
He's claiming that the church is irrelevant and that Allah is mentioned in the Bible, and I keep asking him to show me in the Greek manuscripts the word Allah, and he's doing the tap dance now. He can't do it. Actually, we can find it in the Hebrew, which it refers to as a mouse. The Hebrew.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
A cursed mouse. A cursed mouse.
Yeah, brother Ed.
You need to
bring him up.
Yeah, I would love for him to come.
Hold on. I'm posting the link back in the chat, guys.
Come on up, Retta.
If Yaha and Reda, you guys want to come up online, that we're more than happy. We'll give you time. I let you guys talk. If you guys, they come on here, don't scream and yell at them.
Exactly.
Be nice.
I would tell everyone to not do that as well. Maybe one people should talk to him. I will be mute. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay. There, it doesn't look like they're taking the offer. But anyway, okay, so when we get back here, so you have a clear indication here with Tertullian. And I want to go back to that slide just to show you where Tertullian falls out of this tree of apostolicity, or not apostolicity, but of where the church fathers are. Here we are. Okay, so let me put this back up here and put this back up here. He's not on this slide. Sorry. Okay, let me Hold on a second. Let me find him. Sorry, guys, for the... I thought I had him on there. Tertullian. I thought I had him on here. Wasn't he...
Previous graph.
Was it...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, your previous graph.
I have Tatian, Irenaeus, Justin Martyr. I do not have... Here we are. There he is, Tertullian. Well, this is the only thing I have on him is right here. Hold on, let me put this up here. Where how many times he references the New Testament? Let me see here. I thought I had him on a previous graph too, on that one, but I don't see him. It's Tatian.
Tatian, no, I thought you had a different one. Looked the same, but he was to the left.
Say that again.
Left on there near Irenaeus, I thought.
Hold on, let me go back. Okay. On here?
No, I guess maybe I was thinking of Justin Martyr. I'm sorry.
Okay. There was one that he's on that I could have swore he was on because I had a whole laundry list of them on there. You know, when you have, I like charts and graphs because it does a lot of explaining that you don't have to understand. In your head. Okay, so here you have Tertullian, coined theological terms such as Trinity, person, substance, argued. Okay, so he's 160. He's middle to late second century. Somebody's got a hot mic here. It sounds like you're getting it.
While you are trying to figure that out, I want to answer Yahya because he's saying stuff in the chat again. He said there is Allah mentioned 31 times in Genesis. So let me answer him that in the same Genesis, Allah has a spirit which was hovering over the water, and your Allah does not. Same times you will read John chapter number 1. It says the word of Allah, the kalima of Allah, became flesh. So why do you only pick the chapter which suits you and not the whole gospel? So unfortunately for you, we do believe in Allah. We just do not believe in the Allah of the Quran or of the Muhammad. There's a difference. So if you do not comprehend this basic fact, then my friend, you are very, very ignorant.
I think it was Tuesday night I put a picture up of how Muslims read the Bible. And there's like three words that are picked out and then everything else is scribbled all over. Yeah, I know. And that's, you know, you read only what you want to read. It's called confirmation bias is kind of the proper term for it. And when they go looking for things that in the Bible that appear to authenticate the Quran, of course, they're going to take everything else around that, throw it out, and use this. There was a guy that was here last week, I think it was, or maybe it was Tuesday night. Was it Tuesday? Wanted to debate Song of Solomon 5:16. That's supposed to be Muhammad right there in a love letter between a man and a wife. So that's Muhammad right there, don't you see? Because it sounds like
Only one verse was about Muhammad. The rest of the verses were not. You need to understand that, brother.
Well, isn't Song of Solomon pornographic?
That's what they used to accuse it. That the book of Song of Solomon's used to be like pornography until DDAT started saying, I found Muhammad in it. Then they silenced that. They jumped on what DDAT started saying.
You do not know, brothers and sisters, you are Islamophobe.
You
know Islam more than you should.
Yes. That's the definition of Islamophobe, the kafir that knows too much about Islam. Okay, let's... Let's jump back over to, was somebody saying something?
Yeah, I did.
Who's me? Which one's me?
Dr. Kabir.
Issa. Yes, sir. Hey. Issa speaks. It sounds like you're in a garbage can. You got to talk loud. That's why I couldn't hardly hear you.
Big thing, like
definitely not supposed to be taken literally. So I think it's fascinating that there are certain people who would take this kind of really heavy-handed type of situation. I just think that's kind of fascinating myself.
So are you thinking that this could be Muhammad? Are you saying that it could be?
No, I don't think. No, it's Hebrew. It's Mahmadim. Mahmadim is not Ahmed.
There you go. Woohoo! Yeah. Say it, brother. Say it.
Yeah, Ahmed means like the praised one, the praiseworthy one. Mahmadi means like beloved. It's just it's a different word. Hebrew, they're like you can have words that sound similar in Hebrew and Arabic, but they're different languages. You know,
there you go. Different words. Different words. Mm-hmm. It's good to see your face.
That people make. Thank you. Good to see you too.
You're welcome.
Well, it's.
Especially because he's part Jew, right?
So he just denounced that Muhammad is not in the Bible, so he's kafir.
I wonder who was that? Who was that guy that was saying that the other night? Do you guys remember who that was? I think I might have wrote it. Did I write it down?
Who was with us? Oh, are you talking about what's his name? The Abbas?
Was it Abbas?
I think it was Abbas.
It was either Constantine. Let's see. Constantine. Let's see.
Oh, you're thinking of the text in the chat?
In the chat. Who was in the chat? I'm trying to figure out who it was that was in the chat the other day.
Constantine was on it the other day, so I think you're right.
Okay.
I think it was him.
Yeah, all right, because he was saying that, well, they wanted the debate. They wanted to have a debate. Well, let's have a debate. We're going to debate. Because I told him, I said, you want a debate, and that's the whole purpose of him coming to the show and into the chat, and I said, let's debate, the Quran. No, can't do that. Let's debate whether or not Jesus was crucified. No, can't do that. Let's debate 5:16. Okay. And he doesn't show up today, so that kind of telling.
Well, it should be like half and half. Let's discuss about 5:16, Song of Solomon's, and then let's discuss something that I want to discuss, because that's fair. He gets a choice, and you get a choice,
right.
And y'all discuss. Yeah.
But whenever you have that discussion, it very rarely has anything to deal with what you want to discuss, and it only deals with what they want to discuss.
Well, if they don't want to do, the suggestion, well, then they don't get any airtime. So they will have to give the consensus to you, too, because you gave some consensus to him, and now he has to give some consensus
to you. Well, in a perfect world.
Hayal in Islam. Hayal means using mechanisms in such a way to avoid accusation and use tricks and tactics.
What's it called?
Hayal, this is an Islamic term. When you are talking to non-Muslims, you should use that because your purpose is not to win the debate. Your purpose is not to give the truth, but to win the debate. So you have to use different tactics so to avoid the subject and evade the subject and talk about other stuff so that you will not have to give the truth. Hayal is used in conjunction with Adabul Dajjal. Adabul Dajjal is also, Dajjal means lying, deceiving, deception. Adab means the method. So Adabul Dajjal is a method where you are supposed to lie to safeguard the Islamic narrative. So if you use Hayal and Dajjal together in the Jihadul Lisan, which is the battle of the tongue, it is all allowed. You can use deceptive means, you can use lies, you can use deception, because the purpose is not to give the truth, but to safeguard Islam. Jihad is a war, is a deception. And Muhammad said you can lie and deceive.
I thought that's what they called taqiyya or kitman or something like that.
Taqiyya is a specific word. I told you guys many times to not use the word taqiyya. Taqiyya is when there is a sword on your neck that you are about to die and you say, Muhammad is a stupid D-A-S-T-A-R-D and I don't believe in Allah. It's a mouse or whatever. That's the kayya. You can denounce Allah and Muhammad to save your life. That's the kayya.
Okay, but these other ones apply to in argumentation.
What he's talking about is fallacious reasoning.
I have no idea what that means.
Oh, illogical. Illogical reasoning. That's how you lose an argument.
How do you spell this word,
these terms that you're talking about are actually terms that are, that in truth are what we would define in logic terms as fallacious. They help you lose an argument.
that actually makes them win the argument. Let me show you how.
But again, it's called fallacious reasoning.
Here are the terms, XYZs. Is that what you're talking about?
So I'm talking about hayal right now. I showed you the presentation. So this is the Islamic term hayal. Let me show you what it means. Hayal, okay? Hayal is a science which uses adabul dijjal. In theology and law, a method of debating in which were discussed questions that were controversial. And it was not a matter of finding the truth, but of convincing the opponent of the greatest possible probability which one believes to have found. Dajjal simply means lying. Hayal is an artifact, devices, strategies to mean to evade a thing and use the tricks. In law circumstances of the law, legal devices used for legal means, for extra legal ends. And adab means the technique. So, Adabul Dajjal is the technical term for the method of debating, right? It was no more a matter of finding the truth, as in theology, but of convincing the opponent using all kind of lies and deception and etc.
Again, defined by logical reasoning as illogical and makes it fallacious.
Here's Adam. This Yah guy, evidently he doesn't like you too much.
Doesn't matter, brother.
Well, go ask you. Do you have a... Go ask your master. Who's your master? I mean, when he says, go ask your master, who is that?
Jesus Christ, brother. That's the only master I know.
Oh, okay.
You know, Yah, I gave you a good representation as being humble, yet you're a Muslim, mm-hmm. and now, you know, you're kind of exposing yourself that you're not as humble as I'm, you know, trying to, not trying, but showing that you were, because you were humble a lot of times with Hatun. You would let her speak. And now, what's happened, Yahya?
But then lie, you know, sister. He let her speak, and then he started lying.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about that, how he would let her speak, and then he would speak, and he would speak in a low tone. You know, he's not like, I mean, his mannerism is not like Muhammad Hijab for a lot of them out there. You know, he's not like a big old bear coming to you.
Brother Eric, one last slide. So Hayal, rule of Hayal, artificial devices, etc., means of evading, and hayal is a technical term for stratagem in war. Why? Because war is a deceit.
Mm-hmm.
War is a deceit. So in hayal, when you are doing the adabul hayal, which is the linguistic jihad of the tongue, the lisan, you can use all these kind of things. Even so and so that you can break the oath. So in a debate with you guys, if a mu'min comes up and say, Wallahi, you know, he can use the oath of Allah, is Allah, and then he can break it because it's allowed in Islamic teaching, because the war is deception, deceive. And this is...
Oh, Machiavellian, yes.
Thank you so very much. Mm. So in the Sharia written by Imam Shafi Ramulale, it describes it as Machiavellian tricks. And if you have read the book, you know it's all about deceptive tricks. Mm-hmm. And this is how they shoe it. Okay? I'm not saying that. This is their own book saying that, of the fiqh. So hayal is Machiavellian tricks to recruit new adherents and detach them from their religion and move them to the Islam. Dude, I'm not saying that. You guys are, they are saying that. So I think you have...
What is that, like a slideshow you have there, Adam? Of that? Is that what they're... Well, why haven't you sent that to me?
I never asked that.
Oh, okay, that's a good point, yeah. Can you send that to me? I'd like to have that. That looks cool. Okay. And I get it. You get these because we get this every week. And you know, this is why I try desperate to come on the show to explain these things to us. And we had a boss on here a couple weeks ago. We had another guy. Who was the guy before him? Bilal? Was that? We had
Bilal B.
When he was talking with me and having a debate with me, I asked him the question, why did you not stop the guy who slapped our sister Hatun while you were standing right next to her, and you actually gave way to the guy's slap? And he said, why should I stop him?
Who said this?
The same Yaya guy.
That's the guy that's in chat right now?
Yes, he was standing right next to sister Hatun when that black guy slapped sister Hatun. And this guy was standing next to her. And I asked him the question, why you were there as a man, the guy's hand moved in front of you, and you moved away from his hand, rather than coming in front of that hand and stop that idiot. Why should I have stopped him? That was his answer. It's live. It's live record. Not even recording. It's live.
Yeah, and notice he's in there saying Adam thinks he's an expert. But I don't see Retta coming up here. What's up, Retta? How come you're not coming up here, bro? What's the matter?
Well, they can't even call you bro, you know. Allah forbid that. Do not be friends with Jews and Christians.
So what are we supposed to be called? Brother? Not brother. Najis, that's right.
Filthies.
Yes, Najis. Street. What are they? Street. What do they call them in Pakistan? Street. What again? Where you get in the gutter, the sewer, sewer sweepers? Shitters. Yep. Okay. Shitters. Okay. I didn't think it was that graphic, but okay. Okay. So we'll stick with Najis. Is that how you say it? Najis. We've gone through this before. Where I can't hear. All
filthy
sewage.
Hey, are you going to show number 4, 5, number 6?
Yes, yeah. Okay, let's, we got plenty of time. All right, let me bring this up. Let's see. I'm just sitting there trying to watch, because there's a lot, the chat's pretty entertaining today. I'm enjoying reading with the, here's one, Gabriel. Let me put it back up here. Yes, victimization. That's exactly right. The victim card. Everything is a victim card. And here's Rob K's sweepers. They can only do the menial task. Got it. All right. Whoops. What happened? Oh, I see.
Man, we have a full house here. Wow. Where's Steve? Let me see if I can get Steve here.
Okay. Here we have another one of Connie's memes. It says, Tertullian said Christ was second in rank, not in nature. He is uncreated and eternal. So when we look at the writings of Tertullian.
The Trinitarians say that Jesus was created. I mean, wow. So, you know. And you can read John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That means knowing life eternal is the Father and the Son. You don't get eternal life without the Father and the Son, because they are one.
Say
they're both life eternal. They're both.
Now, the same gospel that you're citing from also has here. Let me pop this up on the screen here. It says, and this is eternal life, that they know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, listen to this, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed.
I want to just jump saying, well, he gave glory to his Father. It's like, well, wait a minute. And that's what our imam does, too. It's like, why don't you just read it? If you're going to quote saying, okay, the only true God, and then you're going to say, and Jesus gave him glory, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you're cherry picking. You're not even saying the full context of it.
Cherry picking? Cherry, come on.
Cherry picking. Cherry picking. Pick, 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 pick.
9-12.
Second Thessalonians, what? Hold on, slow down.
Second Thessalonians 2:9-12.
Are you sure there's a second Thessalonians? Because I said there's a second Philippians. Philippians too.
I'm very sure.
What verses? No, I'm bringing it up. I'm making sure. I'm kind of unsure myself today. Okay, Second Thessalonians. What verse? Chapter and verse? I'm sorry. Ed, what chapter and verse 2? Ed.
Sorry, chapter 2, verses 9-12.
9-12. Here we are. 9-12. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God send them strong delusions that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Boy, that sounds very, very familiar.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying earlier, that because they did not have the love of the truth, God must judge sin. He must judge it. He must judge them.
Pleasure in unrighteousness, they love it.
Okay, what is wrong? Okay, all of you can see the guy came too quick to even react. Hope you shut your filthy mouths, and Hatun deserves more.
Okay, I'm going to go over there and just send him out. This is terrible. I'm sorry.
Why would you say that Hatun deserves that? I don't understand that. I mean, he can't. Okay. Why would you? Yeah, but why?
Screenshot that.
All right.
Take a screenshot.
Golly, creepers, rad. Doggone. Cut me some slack here, dude.
Yeah, I would expect this out of Yaya.
Well, according to Connie, that's okay. Hold on. There we go. Wait. Whoa. What am I doing here? No. Okay, I don't understand what's going on here. Why is this not working here? No. Screenshot. Snipping tool is moving. Oh, my gosh. Let me just close this whole... There. Close.
I actually haven't listened to him in probably about 3 or 4 months. He might have just been changing. But
sounds like he's lost his lid.
Yeah, I know. I used to see him as a mild-mannered man, you know, but apparently him being here right now, he's really, you know, proven that he has changed, and I'm sorry for that. Yaya, you know, you're in the midst of a bunch of men that just want to be honest about Scripture and about Islam.
Okay, well, I'm
done.
Hold on. Wait a sec. Okay, there we go. I got it. Finally, I got it.
The Islam and the Muslim.
Exactly right.
But I don't understand why somebody would say that Hatun deserves that. I don't know how you can get that. Get there.
So
where somebody deserves to get smacked like that, or I mean, does he think that she deserved to get stabbed too? I mean, if you deserve, you know, if you
are in agreement with attacking and hurting and even killing opponents of Islam. What you'll see in many of the attacks is that the one who is speaking might not be the one who actually does it, but they encourage each other and the ones who are willing to do so to go and do the attack. They're not upset. They're not outraged by the attack. They welcome it and they encourage it. So you need to understand that.
Let me see. I didn't save that. Well, I already have the first one, so. Dominic, is in the house. He says he's still not feeling great. But yeah, George, I agree. You know, when you try to justify violence, like, I mean, and this is the difference here in the West. Here in the West, we allow people, even though we disagree with them, we allow them to say what they want to say. I mean, when you go to Speaker's Corner, they call it Speaker's Corner for a reason. They don't call it Sharia Corner. They don't call it, you know, you have to be polite corner. This is Speaker Corner. When you have speech, free speech can often be, there's no doubt about that. It doesn't need to be intentionally offensive, but when you start pointing out what Muhammad did is offensive. So when Hatun points these things out, they lose their flippin' little minds and they attack her. Even Jay Smith was there 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and one of the guys. I know it wasn't anything tough, but he's like, get, you know, you hit him twice in the face. He's like, get back, you know. Guys,
he did not see. He said that she deserved it. So imagine that a woman deserved a slap on her face. Look at his text. She deserved it. You know, when you say deserve it, it means that it should have happened with her. It means it was allowed, which means it should happen, not might, may, should, deserving. So if this is the theology of Islam, can you say that Islam in any mean possible is a peaceful religion? When somebody can stand and say Muhammad was a pedophile because he married a 9-year-old girl. Muhammad was a rapist because he had sex slaves. How can somebody...
He married a 6-year-old girl and had sex with her when she was 9. You're right, man.
Okay, perfect. Same thing, pedophile. And somebody saying that it was her offensive action and she deserved it?
That's
why Islamic laws in Islamic countries says put the person to death, hang till death, if they say anything bad about Muhammad. And
yeah,
that is why
it's the truth. Even if it's the truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even if it is the truth. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's the deserving part is what gets me off. And that's what he said over there in live talk as well. That's exactly what he said.
No peace with attacks and offends Islam. I have Aisha Age on my channel. Proves she was 16 years old.
Yeah, she was 16 in his dreams. And everyone else, even Aisha was a stupid, idiotic liar according to him then.
Tell the Saudis that too, and tell them to correct all of their hadiths that they have at Sunnah.com, bro. Okay?
Yeah, we've done a couple shows on that where Abbas was on here twice the last couple of weeks. And the one refreshing thing, if there's anything refreshing about Abbas, He was saying that he agrees that that it's pedophilia. And this is why Aisha had to be older than 9, because Muhammad definitely would not have done that to a little girl, because that would make him a pervert. So he admits that. So it is the hadith that have to be wrong. Now forget the fact that he did not offer up any type of hadith to contradict what we cited on the show, but at least he had the goodness of heart to know that it is wrong for a 54-year-old man to crawl on top of a 9-year-old prepubescent little girl. That was refreshing to see, because when you argue this normally, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong about this, but normally when we argue this with people, that they try to justify the fact that Muhammad did this when he was 54 and she was 9, they try to justify the 9-year-old little girl shtick, saying, well, she was mature, she was much more knowledgeable, they matured faster in Arabia at this time. All these, at least they are admitting that if somebody that is that age that does that is a pervert, is a pedophile. So here, when...
Because he said, Adam, I would slap you and no hesitation. Islam defender Yahya, I wish you
would do that one day. I so wish you would do that, so I will have the reaction that I can do by law, and I could show you what it means to slap a male person. And I will show you what kind of a demonic being you are and what I will do to you. So I wish that one day you will have the courage, enough courage, to do what you said. But you are a coward, my friend. And you will remain a coward because you won't be able to do that. And if you do that, trust me, you will definitely not have all of your teeth in your mouth. You'll be missing some.
Okay, here's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. Remember, we are on YouTube. Can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. Can't do that. Anyway, violation of YouTube code of conduct practices. We totally, completely, absolutely denounce everything you said.
That's for our legal counsel. Thank you. No, hold on. Okay, Rad, I'm gonna let you say what you want here. Let me do one thing here, Rad. Okay, just to make my point. Hey, Steve, how are you? Here's the point I wanted to make right here, guys. When I talk, what's going on here? Here we go. When you start talking to them about the age of Aisha, this is exactly what they do. Oh, well, look at that. The Bible says that Rebecca was 3 years. Yeah. That's exactly what they do. They cannot defend that. So what do? They have to say, well, your Bible sucks as much as our Quran does, and you have pedophiles in your Bible just like we have pedophiles in our Quran. No, they can't, but that's the thing. No, it doesn't. And that's exactly what they'll do. They'll try to change the subject, just like you were saying before, Adam. Steve, what are you doing? Where are you going today, Steve? Are you just out driving around, enjoying the sun, or what?
No, I had to go to San Diego to translate for a Kurdish pastor from Arabic into English for a bunch of white Americans. I'm kidding. No, I did actually, but.
I've been home
from San Diego, and in San Diego, I just want to say one thing that's kind of...
Okay, you're lagging, Steve. That's the thing, that with the Wi-Fi in California sucks.
They ripped their book. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. You were lagging, but go ahead. Well, I can hear you, Steve.
Is my internet bad? Yeah.
No.
Oh, you can hear me?
We can hear you, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead and speak.
Okay. Anyway, what happened the other day, I was out witnessing, and this Muslim lady with a hijab comes over to my table, and I ask her, can I ask you a question about the Quran? And she says, okay. I says, you know, chapter 4, verse 34, says that a man, if he fears disloyalty from his wife, he should admonish her, send her to bed apart, and then beat her. You know, and this was in Arabic. She spoke Arabic. She quoted the whole verse for me from, you know, the beginning where it says men are responsible for women and all this stuff, you know, or superior to women, actually. And then I said to her, I said, well, why does Allah allow men to beat their wives? And she said, no, Allah doesn't allow men to beat their wives. I said, but it's right there. It says, beat them. You know, the word is utrubuhunna in Arabic. I said, what does utrubuhunna mean? He goes, no, Allah doesn't allow that. And then I said, but see what it says. And then she says, if my husband ever hits me, I'm going to break his head. Anyway,
and then she's going to be violating the Sharia, and then she'll be taken
she
to task.
She quoted the thing and then denied it. That's almost like what I was dealing with this Unitarian. He's reading it, but then he says, well, it means this. It doesn't mean what it says. Hath God said, right?
Yea, hath God said. Very good.
And I will leave some.
right, guys. Thank you so very much. Enjoy the rest of the evening.
All right, Adam. Thank you for stopping by, brother. Good to see you. All right, Rad. Rad had something to say that before I cut him off. Well, you guys are going to have to work that out in therapy. Rad was going to have something to say. Did he step away from the mic again? Are you kidding me? Did he just drop? One of his things just dropped, so he's probably having connectivity issues. Okay. All right, so let's go back to I had to close that window. I don't know what was happening with my snip, or what do they call that? You can screenshot snippet. Yeah, I don't know what was happening with it, but the snipping tool was not snipping right. It was I have two screens here, and it was only going to allow me to snip on this page, so I had to.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, what were you going to tell us there, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not making this up. In Orthodox Jews, especially the Habakkuk, you can get Rashi's commentary. They actually preach that. They actually believe that when he was 3 years old. Seriously.
And
To what end, though?
I have no idea why. No, nobody can explain it.
So do they marry three-year-olds and have sex with them? Do they marry?
Let's just first look at why would they try to put her age that low, though? What's the motivation for that? And that's what the point of it.
Muhammad.
Exactly. That's the whole point of that. That's exactly what they do. They say, okay, Muhammad was a pervert. Okay, we got that. But also look at over here at Isaac. Isaac was a pervert too. But let's just pretend. Okay, let's just pretend, because they do the same thing with Mary too. They always try to put Mary's age like at what I don't even know what they try to put that, but they always say she was a young girl. They try to do that too. But let's just pretend that that's true. Are we commanded to follow the Sunnah of Isaac? Are we commanded to follow the Sunnah of Mary? And that should give you that should tell you everything that you need to know right there. And this is the same thing as saying that, well, Lot established the practice of incest. So, it teaches that you can commit incest there in the Bible. Look what Lot did. It's a psychosis. It's got to be. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Instead of God exposing sin with the case of the two daughters, you know, and they actually thought, you know, that everybody else on the whole planet was destroyed, and they wanted to save seed. You know, so it wasn't this, there's our dad, let's just get him drunk and jump his bones. That wasn't their motivation. They said their motivation is they thought they were the only people left on the planet, and they wanted to preserve the seed.
Well, that's what you need to stop doing that, Connie, because what you're doing is you're applying context, and you can't do that. We won't have any of that when trying to make our point that, you know, we can just say that.
You always keep on dogging me on that, man.
I know. Jeez. We won't be making any sense on this show. I could see where somebody would cut that out and say, okay, well, look at Eric Smith. They don't make sense on his show. We won't have that. Forgetting the context of it. Abraham married his sister. It was his half-sister. But even with that, when did the commandment not to marry siblings come into practice there, Constantine? I'd kind of like to see that.
In Moses' time.
Yeah, way.
Oh,
way after.
You mean? Hold on. You mean 4 centuries later? 6 centuries later? Steve, again, here, we won't be making sense on this show, citing facts, for crying out loud.
It was 452 years later.
452.
I'm lying. No, I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound convincing. I thought it was 453, but I was going to count you some slack on that. All right. We're winding this show up. Say that again, Dio.
Chapter 12 of Exodus.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is, so we're talking the time of Moses. So when you talk about Abraham's about 2000 BC, Moses is about 1450 BC. So you're talking about 550 years later. Do we finally get that? So here he is. He's trying to, so that action was great in that time. No, that's not what we're saying, Constantine. Did we say that? Did anybody say that? I'm just telling you that was a cultural practice at that time. Do we have that cultural practice today where we're marrying our half-sisters? Are we allowed to do that? No.
No.
So why would you bring this? Yeah, why would you bring that up? Well, I can tell you why you would bring that up. You would bring that up because you're trying to justify the perversion of somebody you call a prophet. So what you're going to do is you're grasping at all these straws. Oh, Abraham did this, and Isaac did this, and Lot did this. But we're not commanded to follow their example. We're commanded to follow the example of Jesus Christ. So, okay, so now he's going after Olga. And Olga's got the coolest new name, Islam Isa Mess. I'm going to put that back up there. Islam is a mess. And at the first time, you have to read that
a
couple times.
I like this guy. Yeah. I've been watching some of his videos. He's a sharp man, and he comes to my channel.
Okay, let me tell you. Let me give you some warning about Olga, though.
Well, no, not Olga, but the guy that he names his name.
Islam. That's who it is. That's who it is. Yeah. That's who it is. But that's okay. This is the guy that got after us for not voting for Biden. I mean, he was after me like a rabid dog. We were having a conversation. We were talking. I can't remember if it was on a Facebook call or what it was. But, I mean, he was after me, calling me everything but Christian for supporting Donald Trump during the election. This is the thing. When after those words were exchanged, you know, I still love the man as a brother in Christ, but he's just that after that, I was just like, dude, you have your hearts in the right place as far as Christ is concerned and your faith, but your politics really suck. I mean, you can't get any worse than that supporting Mr. Jack.
But
I don't know who you said that.
Bring him over. I mean, he's apparently he's still on the plantation there and thinking the Democrats were always for the blacks, and it was the opposite. The Republicans got in that war to free the blacks. I mean, it happened after the Civil War or during the Civil War. It wasn't because of it. You know, it was the Republicans that were defending to stop this slavery, you know. So they still have that mindset as, man, you need to vote Democrat, you know. No, it's the opposite. They need to vote Republican.
Well, when you bring that up, where... Well, there's some scumbags out there. There's no doubt about it. There's some scumbags out there. That Kinzinger guy out of Illinois, that guy's a scumbag if I've ever seen one. So let's go ahead and close up the show today. John Isaac was here early, and he posted in the comments, private chat, that he wanted to... wanted us to stay on topic, and I'm sorry that we didn't stay on topic initially, John, because I think he wanted to talk about the early church fathers, and it took us 20 minutes before we started talking about the early church fathers, and I apologize for that. Hopefully he'll watch the show. I don't know. What would we be talking about?
well, I guess to finish it, right? Or
well, what else do we need to say about them?
I had some more memes there.
Yeah, but they were dealing with what Tertullian. All they're doing is they're confirming what the early what we know about the early church, and this is the point that I was trying to what we were all making today was is the fact that the apostles, the ones that knew Christ, believed that he was God, and then the early church fathers. When we started speaking about the early church fathers, they also confirmed what the apostles were teaching is that Jesus Christ was God incarnate, and that's the point that we were trying to make today. Okay. Comparison of what again? I'm not familiar with that argument. Maybe we can discuss it more in depth on Tuesday. Okay, George, you're going to have to send me an. You have my email, George? Yes, Eric Sekifer. Yeah, just send me an email outlining the details of it. I'll build the show, put it in StreamYard, and then we can discuss it on Tuesday if you guys want. Okay, again, everybody, thank you for coming. The chat was just absolutely awesome today. I appreciate you guys participating in chat and everybody that came here and commented.
Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, hit the notification button, do all that stuff.
Sure, yep. Please do. Amen. As you can hear, that's the 90-second bell. So God bless y'all, and we will see you on Tuesday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time here on the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. God bless. Okay, turn that off and let me jump over here to Blog Talk Radio and end the show over here.